news, everyone.
This is Jake Z. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is All in Football on FTN. It is the Super Bowl show. Why? Because we're not here next week. Well, I'm not here next week, so we're not here next week. I am off in Washington State trying to figure out the West Coast time, so no show next week. We'll be back the week after that. Still have SiriusXM show. Somehow, interestingly enough, like we were nominated for a finalist last year on this show, this year on SiriusXM, but not this show. So it's the same damn show. If you enjoy us, thank you. At Chris Meany.
I'll take it.
At Stepmom Moore.
Yeah,
I know.
Hey.
I know how we get one without the other, but whatever. Congratulations to us to lose to Jeff Ratcliffe this year. Last year we lost to the footballers. So either way, we're losing to footballers or Jeff Ratcliffe one way or another. So good times. Speaking of losing. How about that? The Ravens did not make the Super Bowl. That was a big loss. You know me. Hey, you guys won. Last week, before that, I was telling you, like, your stomp was going to win, and I got that right, 49ers stomp. And then last week, I'm like, oh, I'm on the Ravens again, and you guys were both like, oh, they're going to cover. Not only did they cover the Chiefs, they won. That was easy. The problem is Ravens going forward. Let's talk Ravens going forward for fantasy. We're going to talk Ravens. We're going to talk, of course, the 49ers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and, of course, who the 49ers beat as well last week, and all of this and what it means for fantasy. Get all that? Oh, by the way, Super Bowl picks. There's not a lot. We're going to do some fun because we like to do fun, and I was going to say, you know what, maybe somebody has to take a shot of pickle juice or something on the show for whoever loses, but I can't find enough props because why, you like pickle juice?
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
Oh.
And that's it.
I don't know.
Especially after a shot of whiskey, it's the best.
Really?
Interesting.
I think I got that from Nondo. Not when Nondo was up in Toronto over at FNTSY and McCormick, we were playing shuffleboard, and the loser had to buy the other like some shots of Jameson, followed by pickle juice.
That is fascinating.
Quick story. My ultimate fascination and love of table shuffleboard came from being in Toronto and playing it for the first time ever. And what was the local?
Yeah.
The bar right next to the studio with Chris Meany and Sean at the time, McCormick, friend of ours.
Yeah.
And Pat never came and played with us. Pat Mayo never
Pat's too cool for that.
He's antisocial, which is weird because he's so
he's always just working so hard. Pat, we're going down shuffleboard. He's like, yeah, I'll be down there in a bit. As he pumps out four or five shows, he comes down. We're all tuned up.
Edited all his own shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Editing we watched Sunday football.
He's a crazy man.
They had
for sure.
Like, what was that? Like 10 TVs on the wall that we would just sit there on Sundays and watch. So
good times. It was great.
First time I ever met Chris Meany.
I have five TVs in my living room.
Do you?
I'm not kidding.
I got Chris Meany confused with somebody else that worked there at the time because they looked so similar. At least when he first, because everybody was that same beard, dark hair look. And who was it? It was the other guy.
I don't know. I had much shorter hair at the time. I'm not really sure.
He did. But Pat Mayo, speaking of drinking things, maybe that's what we should have done. He downed an entire bottle of hot sauce live on the show.
That's right.
Like, oh, no. You guys are weird.
And we got to find this clip. We got to find it because Nando's like, you're a madman.
I'll go check Drew. He's got a lot of old videos. Nando always had some. I mean, he's such a creative dude, and when it comes to shows, he's just such a really good job of making things entertaining. And I think maybe you and him. I don't know if Cam was on the desk with you, but Cam Stewart did a lot of crazy things too back in our time. Anyway, I'll have to look for that one. It's a good one.
We can't do losers because there's not a lot of props out for the Super Bowl already. The fun ones. There's a lot of. We're going to talk about the regular props, like the player props. But I was looking for you know. How many times are they going to show Taylor Swift? What is she going to be wearing? What color? I mean, the Gatorade, we can always do that. But, you know, random stuff like where we threw out last year was like who scores more in basketball versus the total points by the Chiefs and all that. But anyway, there's not a lot of that out. There's barely anything out. But we're going to talk about it. The National Anthem is out. So we'll talk about that one. But anyway, all the way back to the Ravens. Was there enough? There's only one real question here because we know Mark Andrews, if healthy, top three tight end. We know the backfield needs to be shaken out because there's the injury to Keaton Mitchell, won't be ready to start the season probably a few weeks. But J.K. Dobbins also hurt, but also free agents. And it's four people that all have a shot all of them might not even be the answer. It's just a mess of a backfield. So that's off the burner right? It's off the burner on the side. I don't know. It's not cooking right now. I don't know. Anyway, it's not Russell Wilson. It's not cooking. So wide receivers, was there enough from Zay Flowers, in your guys' opinion, in their rookie season for Zay Flowers to definitively be a top 20 wide receiver in 2024, Chris Meany?
Absolutely. I really do think so. And year two as a rookie too, understanding the playbook, right? Second year with Monken inside this offense. Bateman is just a guy. You know, he's not going to really battle for top-tier targets when it comes to Zay Flowers. And OBJ is an unrestricted free agent, so I don't know what his status is moving forward. And he didn't really offer a lot of consistency either. Mm-mm. So there were some up and downs like a rookie would have in his first season in the NFL, especially when there was no Mark Andrews. So, yeah, I'm in on him, and I wonder what this offense looks like next year. I know they're going to want to run the football. Do they run more 12? Do they run more 13? Like, Isaiah likely proved that he should be on the field a lot next year. So, Andrews is the one.
Should have in the game that they lost.
That was really puzzling, the offensive strategy when it comes to the Ravens. Like, nobody ran more than this team. We talked about it several times on this show. On the Sirius show, we talked about the run percentage in neutral game scripts. Yet they didn't run. The biggest weakness that the Chiefs had all year long was their rush defense, 27th in run DVOA. Two carries in the first half for Gus Edwards. His first carry came on the first possession where he ran for 13 yards, and he didn't touch the ball again until late in that first half. I don't understand.
I have the answer.
You can tell me.
No. It's what did Mike Tyson say? Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. That's exactly what happened. They ran the first drive. Didn't even get a first down. But that's what happened. Like you saw, they were going to go out there. And then, boom, Chiefs touchdown, punched in the mouth. And Harbaugh just went, and then, like,
no reason to get away from it. There was so much time left.
Everybody has a plan
game.
Until you get punched in the mouth, right, Lauren? So, can you say as confidently as Chris Meany that Zay, like, now, reminder, last week we didn't even have a Stephon Diggs inside the top 25. Is Zay Flowers top 20, in your opinion?
Yes, I'm not as bullish on this as Chris Meany is. I definitely think in the top 24, I think he will end as a wide receiver too. Top 20 is a little aggressive. Would it surprise me? No, I'm not as confident as Chris Meany, but I will lean towards the side of yes.
Side of yes? Question mark?
Yes.
Well, I wonder if Andrews is even top three tight end and if likely he's going to get more run. Like, will they cut into each other? Like, are they both? Will we see two top 12s on the same team? Like, possible.
Will we see an opportunity to do something here that we did last week that we can maybe figure this out? Chris Meany?
I think there's a way.
I know, but I told everybody there was a way last week. What do you think? There's a way, right, that you could tell everybody about, right? I think.
Yeah, there's a way. Yeah.
I think Chris should tell us.
Yeah. How do we do it, Chris?
We can make a list.
Ooh,
it's good. My voice would crack. Really, I'm still losing it.
Your pacing on that was a lot different.
It's like 3 weeks of this crap.
I am with you. I'm 100% there with you. Like, I feel your pain. I'm two weeks behind you, too. So I still have a lot to look forward to.
Do you guys want to be grossed out live on the show?
Always.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Like, for this is also people listening. So, like, I almost puked myself because I had the phlegm back up from, like, you guys have. I got it a little bit before you did. And when I went to clear my throat after brushing my teeth this morning, like, I couldn't get it out. It was the phlegm was stuck in my throat all the way out my mouth. And it was making me gag. Like, it wouldn't say, look, man, you can't even listen to it. That's never happened to you. That's never happened to you where it's like, it's still stuck.
Yes. Yes. I don't think at the same time as brushing my teeth, though.
No,
that
no,
adds
it was
another
after,
element to it.
After. Okay. No, after. Okay. That's gotcha. Like, you know, like clear. Like it was just, it wasn't, okay. So anyway, yeah. I'm going to put this out here. I don't think we're going to get him inside the top 20. So here we go.
Okay.
Top 10. Random top 10. Jefferson, Hill, Lamb, Chase, Nakua, St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Wilson, D.J. Moore, Derek. I mean, it doesn't have to, like, Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, both of them, Chris Olave, Nico Collins, Rashee Rice, top 15. I mean, we're outside the top 10 now.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. That's 14 names I just named. So we're going to do like we did with Stephon Diggs, where I'm going to keep going until one of you says stop. So these are ranked ahead of Zay Flowers, unless you have a problem. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, Devonta Smith.
Damn.
Oh, I was like, me,
no, I just, we're not getting to 20. Like, we're not getting. I thought about him over Pittman and
Devonta Adams.
Would you? I thought about him over Mike Evans and Keenan Allen. So maybe I'm more bullish than I think.
No, but would you actually rank him in front of? I mean, you thought about it, but would you actually rank him in front of those? Let's keep going. Jalen Waddle, Tank Dell, Cooper Kupp.
I could do Zay Flowers over those three.
All three? Tank. Waddle, Dell, and Kupp?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
So at best, even if you put him over those three, he's still at 21, which I would actually put him at 22 because there's also a name that I have in front of him that has not even drafted yet, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. So I would already take Marvin Harrison Jr. over.
Still low end wide receiver too.
Okay, yeah, so he's what I said. But he's in the tier, is the point. Like we can nitpick whether he's 19 or 23 or whatever, but he's in that tier of, it sounds like your guys, and I agree with you, the conversation that Flowers has, but hold on, let me go a little bit further because I was trying to do my rankings. They come out the day after the Super Bowl for way too early ranks that we can talk about and everybody can get mad about. But Drake London with no more Arthur Smith and Zach Robinson, I think I might lean Drake London. If you give me those two offenses, you talk about how much they run. I'm just throwing out some names in the conversation. T. Higgins, not knowing if he's with the Bengals or if he's the number one somewhere else or just another number two somewhere on a good team. Stephon Diggs, who we talked about last week. There's Stephon Diggs or Zay Flowers as of today, Chris Meany.
I think I want Zay Flowers.
Okay, Lauren? Flowers or Diggs? Flowers?
Yeah. I think he's going to be it's going to be a pretty big tier. Like, I think he belongs in that.
This usually
Devontae
is a very big tier.
Yeah.
Last one, Amari Cooper.
Where's Zay Flowers? I'm going to take Zay Flowers.
Yes, that one's easy. I agree. Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Boring old Amari Cooper.
I don't trust
Deshaun
Watson. I'm sorry.
That's certainly fair.
I can't get away from it.
By the way, way too early look at the way too early rankings, meaning you threw something about Mark Andrews. As of right now, like I did my quick kind of run through of like just off the gut, Mark Andrews is actually 4 behind Laporta, McBride, Kelsey, then Andrews, then Hockenson. If I knew Hockenson was ready for week 1, I think I might even go Hockenson over Andrews at this point because of what you said.
Yeah, Hockenson, if it's Kirk Cousins, you know, those guys certainly had a nice rapport. But yeah, Andrews is still a weapon, and I'm curious to see where he will fall in drafts. I think that's a fair ranking, tight end 4. That's where I would have him too. Like, but likely should get more run, man. Like, they got something pretty special in him.
Should, but I mean, it's the tight end 2, which is always tough on a team too. Yeah. It's more about ruining the tight end 1 than it is having any standalone
could
value unless
just
he gets hurt.
Yeah, it could just ruin, like, the red zone usage between those two guys could be very interesting. Like, it's likely get more, as many red
Baltimore?
Zone targets.
Trade Chip. Trade one? Just saying.
Trade one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, just see the backfield, too. I know you said we'll put on the back burner or whatever that was.
That's what it is. Put it on the back burner.
Yeah, the back burner.
Keaton Mitchell. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is like, I don't know. I'm really rooting for the guy, but you wonder. Maybe he's on a new team fighting somewhere else, and hopefully he can come back strong. But back-to-back years with the Achilles is really tough. But Keaton Mitchell adds another element to this backfield, too. Another guy who's going to come back from an injury. But he offers something that I don't think anybody else that they currently have in the backfield between Hill and Gus Edwards has. You know, he can just bust it on the outside where, you know, Gus Edwards is more of a downhill runner. So interesting
to see. You
know
who would look good in black and purple?
Saquon?
There you go. Saquon Barkley. Throw Barkley into that backfield.
Derrick Henry?
Throw Saquon Barkley into the like Bills that. Backfield. Man, nah, Derrick Henry. Interesting mix between. Yes. Back to the tight ends, and let's talk Lions because, as mentioned, I have Sam Laporta as the number one tight end. I don't think that's really controversial. But what it really comes down to is Jared Goff is Jared Goff. He's going to be in that same conversation as that mid-high QB2. Monroe St. Brown, just talked about when we went through the list. He's top 5, 6, 4, whatever, a wide receiver. So there's two questions left for this team that we need to talk about. The backfield and Jameson Williams. Which do you want to talk about first, Chris Meany?
Jameson.
So let's talk the backfield, stepmom Lauren. Let's do it. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Early, at least in a lot of discussions we've seen so far for this offseason, a lot of people are putting Jahmyr Gibbs inside the top 5 running backs for next year. ahead of names like HN, which understandably, but Rashad White, who just had a big year, Pacheco, friend of the show, Jonathan Taylor, and more so. Jahmyr Gibbs, one, do you feel like top five is expecting a little too much because of the team he plays for, not because of Jahmyr Gibbs, the talent, who, by the way, let's go all the way back to August and remember, oh, wait, that was right. Jake Seeley said he's like Alvin Kamara. Just want to throw that out there. Anyway, to go back to this Jahmyr Gibbs, but David Montgomery's involvement, and David Montgomery, as a second part of this, Lauren, does he deserve to be a top 15, 20 running back? Like, this is Dan Campbell. This is the offense. Ben Johnson is back, everybody. He's not going anywhere. So what do you make of the backfield for this situation in 2024, Lauren?
I think it's interesting. I'm going to put Jahmyr Gibbs in top 10 territory, not top five. And David Montgomery is going to be a solid RB2. I think it's very clear cut for me. It's just the explosiveness from Jahmyr Gibbs is something that is very difficult to ignore. And Montgomery's kind of steady Eddie, but he doesn't have that kind of explosiveness. I think they might rely on Jahmyr Gibbs a lot more next season. I don't know. I don't see a ton of upside for David Montgomery. So I'm putting him in solid RB2 category with Jahmyr Gibbs. RB1, top 10, not top five. That's very aggressive.
So meaning Jahmyr Gibbs, 14.5 points per game. Fifth at Breece Hall was 14.7. Like, legitimately.
Do you like how I talked about that without crying? I think I'm really proud of myself because I experienced trauma. Okay?
I'm sorry. So, number five at the 0.2 difference. Do you think five is aggressive and people are just excited about a young player, young rookie running back going into his second season? Or do you think this needs to be a smaller gap? This is gaps we talk about every single year when we're talking about teammates. And we usually talk about when it comes to wide receiver. But do you think the gap should be as big as pronounced as it is right now, 5 to 25 to 22? Or do you think it should be closer and more like Lauren's side, like maybe like a 10 to 18 or a 10 to 22 type of situation?
No, I think it's like a 5 to 25. I had a lot more Montgomery than Gibbs this year, just the unknown with Gibbs. And I thought Montgomery would have the goal line role, and he did. He was drafted roughly as RB 25, 27th, and he returned value. But at the halfway point or near the end of the season, I wish I had more Gibbs because I thought he overtook the backfield a little bit. Like, Montgomery's not going to go anywhere. He's going to be that first down running back. He's going to get a lot of goal line work. They trust him in short yard situations. But I would much rather have Gibbs, and I do have him. I have him as RB3, and ooh, I would consider him as RB2. I think he's in the same tier as Breece Hall, Kyren Williams, and Bijan Robinson. I mean, what he did as a rookie with like 1,200 total yards.
You're talking about Gibbs right now, right?
Gibbs right now, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was like, whoa.
10 total touchdowns, his involvement through the air. The offensive line is fantastic, and you mentioned it. Ben is coming back, so that's just like really good. I mean, you look at a team like the Eagles who struggle in offense without their offensive coordinator. It's a big deal to have Ben come back and build on what they have done over the past 2 years inside this offense. So I'm pretty bullish on him. I think Montgomery, if you don't get Gibbs, I think Montgomery is still going to be a decent RB2. It's just the ceiling is not going to be as high. It's like, you hope that he has.
Yes, agreed.
You know,
yep.
You know, 12, right, for 12 to 15 for 65 to 75 yards. It's like, those are things that'll probably happen quite often for him with maybe a rushing touchdown. But Gibbs brings what he brings to the table is a ceiling. And I really did see him overtake the backfield in the second half. So
yes,
I think top five is fair. Like, I think he has a little bit more to offer than Breece Hall because the line is better and the team is better. He may not catch as many passes.
I think we're all assuming that's not going to be the quarterback situation of what they just dealt with this year. So I want to throw out one. I actually think, I don't want to say Lauren's crazy because she has him a little bit lower, but I think you're a bit crazy. I mean, and I think the entire community, like, just not you, the entire community, because there's a name that wasn't even included in this conversation that people are like, oh, Gibbs is ahead of him. Gibbs ahead of him in the rankings. This person missed some time, but from week seven on, averaged more. Week seven. So Gibbs is already Gibbs at this point. And I say week seven because, hint, hint, the first two games when he was back, he wasn't used 100%. There's a big hint. He was splitting with somebody that nobody expect. Why is Jonathan Taylor behind Jahmyr Gibbs with the fact that Zach Moss is not a thing next year? Like, even if he's not back on the team, like, not. Why is Jonathan Taylor just – and I don't want to say, like, you can't say that Gibbs is definitively in front of him. Like, if you want to take Gibbs over Taylor, I'm not going to be like, oh, what a problem. Like, they're back-to-back in my ranks as of right now. But it's just, like, nobody's having this conversation. Like, it's just, like, he's in another world. It's almost like Taylor's on another tier – And I think that there's a conversation where Taylor is ahead of Gibbs, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's in the same tier, too. I got him at RB6. This is like a 13th, 14th overall pick for me in my way too early rankings. I would not fight you or anybody that said, listen, he should be RB2. Like, we've seen it before from him.
There was only Christian McCaffrey and Kyron Williams with more fantasy points per game once he was healthy.
Down the stretch. I think the only thing that I will say is that Anthony Richardson is, you know, maybe he steals a couple of rushing touchdowns from him or rushing attempts. But at the end of the day, like, he played a lot of football without JT, and they will still lean on Jonathan Taylor. Like, it's his backfield. He's going to get a ton of opportunities. He, I don't know, like, out of all the backs, he may even be in like number two or number three in just total opportunities. It's carries and targets. So I have no problem. I'm not glossing over him. You're right to bring him up.
I think a lot of people have been so far.
Even yeah, it's a good buy low.
Anthony Richardson, but look at Lamar Jackson with Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram was number four just on touchdowns alone, just because you can still run for 1,000 yards. And I don't know. I just think there's some like disrespect going on. Like, as of right now, put it this way. If we were kind of looking at, like, when we did the mock draft for The Athletic already, way too early, which, whatever, we're doing. We already did a mock draft. That was fun. Seeing where Jonathan Taylor went, as of right now, I have a feeling I'm going to have a lot of Jonathan Taylor. Like, so one of the questions Jay asked, which is a great question, he said, if this draft was ADP, if this is how they finished ADP, like, come August, this is where everybody's going on draft position. Like, I was looking at it, like, you know what? I would go wide receiver round one, Jonathan Taylor round two, potentially because he was so far down, even round three, just because of where he is right now. But probably doesn't hold, probably shifts a little bit, but I think you could get him in round two and get Meany's wide receiver like he does in round one all the time. And speaking of wide receiver, let's talk Jameson Williams. So Jameson Williams, by the way, we want receipts, Mr. Nice Guy. I told two touchdown prop and Jameson Williams at plus 4,000. I want receipts on this.
I saw somebody hit a first and a last.
I don't believe that was true. That is bull crap. I want receipts on that one.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to say it, but there's some Photoshop game out there for people, is all I'll say.
I don't believe it. Some of these sports books are talking about their own little bet things, and like, who is spent, and not even a $5 bet. Who's dropping, $100. Who's dropping $100 on a first and last touchdown bet for Jameson? Like, I don't believe Ron Burgundy. I don't believe you. No. Anyway. So I just want to go back to this. Jameson Williams did start to show up towards the end of the year. Didn't really get past Josh Reynolds. He was kind of mixing and matching with Josh Reynolds on who was having the good game. But coming off that finish against the 49ers, going into next year, now that he's healthy for a full season, Jameson Williams, let me throw out a couple names. Jameson Williams guys versus like a Christian Kirk, who would you draft?
I think there's a little bit more safety in Christian Kirk, but I am pretty excited about Jameson Williams. I just know that he's going to be very boomer bust. I just understand, like, there's going to be games where he's just not there. Like, where's Jameson Williams? So he only had two targets, and he dropped one of them in the end zone. Could have been a touchdown. Then the following week, where's Jameson Williams? Two touchdowns, one in the red zone, one rushing from 40 yards out, which we saw last week. I want to say Jameson, Jake, but at this moment, I will say Christian Kirk. Like, that's a guy that I think could catch 80-plus balls. I don't think that Jameson will catch 80-plus balls, but he could have 1,000 yards and 45 grabs.
Lauren, disagree, or do you want
to? Yeah, give me Jameson Williams all day long. There you know who reminds me of? He reminds me of Jaden Reed. So I just think that the sky's the limit for Jameson Williams. There was so much hype around him for a reason. He's a very talented player, but yet hasn't really seen the field much. His own fault a couple times, but I am very excited about him. I really love his upside. So depending on where we're going in drafts here, do I want to go safety, vanilla Christian Kirk, or do I want to shoot for the moon and go upside with Jameson Williams with what we've been able to see him do on the through the air and on the ground? That's exciting to me. So I'm going to go ahead and go for Jameson Williams.
All right. So in my spam, I had to check my spam, but kudos. Hey, look. He wasn't lying. Mr. Nice Guy hit the double touchdown. Jameson, congratulations on that. Way to go. I hit like was it 8-way parlay? I sent you the one.
I think eight leg, yeah. 8 or 9.
Yeah, it's something like that. Impressive. I missed. Oh yeah, it was 9 because I had 2 free bets and I hit 8 of 9 on the one. By the way, David Montgomery under rushing yards completely whiffed on that one. And that was the only one I missed at the 8 and 9 on. I did one on each game. nailed the first one and then completely whiffed on that. Not completely. Ooh. That was the only thing I missed. That was so frustrating. By the way, Nathan, that's a good idea. Maybe we'll have to do a mock draft live on the show with listeners during this offseason. We'll have to stay tuned for that.
Fun.
Stay.
Yeah.
So the other part of this, Bobby Slowick is staying, and then Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator.
Oh, my! I laughed so hard when I read this.
The more things change, the more things stay the same. Like, is it like we're all sitting here like, really? Like, we're just doing the same thing we just did with the Steelers, right? Yeah, like, this is just going to be frustrating. Just stay away from all of them, really.
I mean, I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit. I think he's more suited for an OC role than a head coach role. Like, he's had success as an offensive coordinator before. He was in over his head as a head coach. But at the end of the day, they still have the same quarterback under center. So I don't think anything's going to change. In the second half of the season, they found their true identity as a running team. They ran the football and they ran it pretty well. Like, Najee Harris had some really good games. Everyone was saying Jalen Warren.
2022 season though.
Everyone, hey.
Like, they hit the bye and he got healthy and the Lisfranc was gone.
And he had a great second half. Where is he going to go in next year's drafts?
That's
going to
be a conversation for this offseason, because it's not, if it's Kenny Pickett again, they're stuck in the same Giants situation. Is because Mason Rudolph's a free agent, which is so crazy that they're sitting here. This is all you need to do about the Steelers season. They're contemplating, like, do we try to bring back Mason Rudolph because of how bad things are?
I don't mean to laugh.
One of my best friends is a diehard Steelers fan. I know Steeler Nation. They love their team. It is the heart and soul of that city, alongside their 243 bridges, however many y'all have. But come on. Are you serious? I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out there. I laughed so hard.
As of
y'all,
right now,
I was going to say,
as of right now, is it Penguins, Steelers, Pirates in order? Like, I feel like the Penguins have the top right.
Probably like the Penguins. I mean, the Penguins have been like from this year too. Like, they're a huge disappointment, but at least they've had a lot of success winning Stanley Cups.
Steelers, it's football.
Yes. Well, as a Cardinals fan, the Pirates are definitely third on that list. So yes, Penguins ahead of the Steelers. Like, that city loves their sport,
the Pirates
though.
Need to
There's
stop
no
doing the reverse
it.
Raise. Stop getting young talent and then trading away for schlubs that end up doing nothing because you think that
contend. Why are you farming out your good kids?
They're reverse Rays. It's like every trade they go goes sideways, and the Rays are just like,
I will say that PNC is on my bucket list. I got to go watch a Pirates game, whether they're good or not.
I would go again.
The backdrop with the bridge, it just looks phenomenal. But just going back to Pittsburgh, and I wonder if they will make a quarterback change, because what I thought was very interesting down the stretch of the season is that usually, Jake, teams typically go to their number one draft pick. Like, when Rudolph struggled, there were some moments where he kind of struggled and Kenny Pickett was healthy. Teams were like, you know what? We spent that first round pick on Kenny Pickett. He's our guy. We're married to him. A lot of teams fall into that trap and they just keep going, like, first round, what, doesn't matter. But they didn't do that. So, like, maybe possibly they're just done with him. Like, maybe Brian Tannehill is an option for them, that they bring in a veteran quarterback. Like, I'm not saying that that's fantastic, but I would like Kenny Pickett, or I would like George Pickens.
I will say
more
to
with Brian
point,
Tannehill under center than
to
Kenny
your
Pickett.
Point. If their recent reports are true, I will have by what basically May 1st after the draft is over, or I guess what is the actual date? I could figure this out real quickly live on the show. Here we go, April. Oh, wait. No, it would be the week before, because the draft is 25th, right? 26th, 27th? The 25th. We might be like, we have to do a show live on the 26th, because I will have forgiven and be completely behind the New York Giants if they draft Jaden Daniels with the 6th pick. I'm just letting, like, if they admit on first round draft night, they admit things have went wrong, and there's only one more year of Daniel Jones. I don't want Drake May, but even if it is Drake, if they
he
take
just
a
wants
quarterback,
somebody different, yeah.
I will forgive and move on. I will
he
let
will
it go.
Sing the text
I will sing "Let It Go" live on the show.
Yes, this has to happen.
So, speaking of singing, you see that? You see that for a transition? I wasn't even planning that. So, the national anthem this year, over under 89.5 seconds. It is. Wait, I didn't even put the name. It's Reba McEntire, right? That's the national anthem this year?
I don't even
think
know.
So, yeah. I love Reba.
I have not dove into this.
National Anthem, Super Bowl 2024. Yep, it's Reba McEntire. So 89.5.
Nice. I like
last
Reba.
Year, country kind of again, like over 89.5. Lauren, call it today. That's a really quick, that's a minute.
We're back. I'm going to get my dog. He's freaking out.
I feel like that's a over. That's like a smash over, isn't it?
I don't think so. I'm Reba McEntire, country queen. She's not exactly a draw out kind of yodel, you know, hit the riffs singer. I think she's going to be very true to the national anthem. I think she'll sing it appropriately, but that is a very short time span. So this is, in my opinion, this is a pretty tight line. I do love Reba McEntire though.
Yeah, who put this line on? I forget where I found it.
That is really short, but
times.
You know, I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under.
So
I think I said under last year. It was totally wrong.
Oh,
but
I'm going way
go
over,
under.
Actually, because here we go. So where's the shortest one? Billy Joel, 1:30. That's, you have to sub Billy Joel. Jewel is 127.
Oh, Jewel.
Yeah, this line. If you can find this line, take the over. That's all I'm saying. If you can find this, because look at this. 201, 152, 217, 149, 201, 152, 204.
How many seconds did you say? You said 89 and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, Jesus.
That's 120, that's 129. That's a minute and a half. You're going to burn through this.
Yeah, I don't math everybody, so to me, that was that
oh,
was
second.
Not.
You see, by the dawn's early left.
I'm smashing over. I'm smashing over. I changed my mind. I need calculators and math wizards, or just math normal people by
there's
me.
Actually,
so I
there's
can
actually bets
like
if she misses a word, which I feel like Reba's not going to miss a word. Like,
no.
She's a queen of
country, aside from Dolly Parton, who's the empress.
So and seeing on a FanDuel now, Jake, 90.5. So maybe that line
see?
Is moving. 90.5
so
plus 102.
That's still fast.
And the under is a little juiced at minus 128. This is at FanDuel in Ontario. They also have Taylor Swift. They also have a couple Taylor Swift props that I don't think
ooh,
are available.
What are Taylor Swift ones?
Will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift on the field? It opened up at minus 250, and now it's minus 3,000. So everybody immediately just started hammering no.
It's minus 3,000?
Yeah, it may be even worth your time to say yes at 10-1. And will the MVP mention Taylor Swift in his speech? Yes,
no,
because
it's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
And yeah, and then it's minus
1,100.
Mr.
Nice
Guy, yes, he will. And we had this. That's the only two that I see right now. We actually had this conversation in the Slack. Like, why not, Travis? Just do it, man. Just
it's not happening. Like, not happening.
I don't think it's going to happen either. They've been together for like a minute, but he did tell her. He loved her on the field, so maybe it's fast moving.
If
honestly, I'm sorry, Jake. Well, I'm sorry, Jake. I have to interrupt you. Jiggles. How are you a Swiftie, but you have never heard of Reba McEntire?
Maybe he's well, not.
Dude, a little bit older. Like, a little bit older, yeah.
But
watch
she
the show
is
Reba.
All, she's been on television. She's a coach on The Voice. I mean,
here.
She's everywhere. Oh my
gosh,
I'm like
attention.
Mind blown.
The only I knew Reba first only by television, so there you go.
Yeah, it's just, same.
There you go.
I'm out.
So, anyway,
awesome.
Bye. So, I was gonna say, I would actually say more if there was a bet that Taylor Swift breaks up with Travis Kelce. Actually, that's like, I mean,
but they lose and she's just like, you're done.
That's it. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. See, Mr. Knight, I saw her young Sheldon too. She actually played the one from Coach, the tall older guy. I can't think of his name, but she was his ex-wife. And then she went, anyway. Point being, we'll move on from this. I'm smashing the over. Point being, still so the two lowest times, two was a minute and a half and 127. That's
wow.
How?
That's crazy. Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. Just anyway. To go back to the first thing mentioned, there is something that's maybe more worth your time than Taylor Swift being mentioned. God and religious figure is number one at minus 140. Teammates plus 260. Team organization 10-1. Coach 16. Family 16. Fans 16.
What about Patrick Mahomes' brother?
Team organization may be interesting at 10-1. What'd you say?
I said, what about Patrick Mahomes' brother?
Family 16-1.
Is it? Yeah, it's not going to be the first thing he mentions, that's for sure. You know what, just, we're going to get to that. We're going to get picks and everything like that. So music-wise, by the way, the right now, if you guys want to take the gamble on that, halftime show appearances. Alicia Keys is actually the most heavily favorited and Ludacris, and then Lil Wayne's a long shot. But it seems like Alicia Keys might show up if you want to take some fun bets on that. The one I was going to say is, how have they not had the over-under of how many times we see Taylor Swift in the game? Like, that, are they mathing this out? That's the only thing I can think of, is that since they started dating, they're going through all the Chiefs' home games or something like that to, like, math it and how many times she's actually been shown. And that, you know, even trying to figure out the score and, like, that kind of stuff. But anyway, I want to see that one. And actually, I think I don't propose this as, like, I don't even drink, but please don't. I'm actually going to say don't. Please do not take a shot every time she's on TV, because I do not want people to get alcohol poisoning. I don't.
I'm going
to
do it. I'm going to do it.
Don't do it. You can do a shot of pickle juice, because people are going to get wasted if they take a shot every time she's on TV.
The New York Times came out with something this week on the watch time of her being on the screen.
Oh, every second she's on TV?
It was only a total of 25 seconds, which does seem like not that much. But in the Miami game, it was like a minute. I think maybe just because that game was extremely boring. But shout out to Colin Coward, who I don't really agree with a whole lot, but he went into all of it and he talked about the time.
How long?
She's been in all the games and things.
Long
not the appearances, just the time.
How long?
We also talk about
Bills,
she throws out $100 bills Kelsey to like everyone she sees that works at stadiums, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
I'd say they show her a good five or six times at least. I understand the CBS broadcasts talking about it a lot and showing her a lot, because I mean, don't they host the Grammys? Like, don't they? The Grammys is on their broadcast. It's cross promotion. It makes a lot of sense for them to do that.
But times Fox, whatever that number is by at least two or three, because this is the Super Bowl. So they are going to try to get to as many non-football people. Okay, here's the thing. People watch who don't like football, okay? They watch the Super Bowl because usually that's what we do. But they watch it for the commercials. They watch it for the halftime performance. They go to people's houses for the food. They really don't care about football. Now you suddenly have a figure like Taylor Swift. You better believe that they are going to be showing Taylor Swift as often as humanly possible to get all the ladies and all the girls and all the gender whatever Swifties out there to be glued to the TV to watch the commercials, because that is where the money comes from when it comes to the Super Bowl. So I would say I'm going to smash whatever over number that it is for Taylor Swift. And yeah, that is exactly what's going to happen.
Do we get a breakdown of her travel trip like they did everybody yesterday on, like, can she
100%. That's a good call. I would take the yes on that too. That's all anybody's talking about.
It's, you know what it's going to be? I have a feeling like it's going to be something like about the miles traveled compared to Patrick Mahomes' career yards or something stupid like that. Yeah. Like, if it's like super close.
If she was if she was traveling with you, she'd never make the game on time. There'd be seven delayed flights.
That is true. So what you're telling me is I need to go to Japan. Is that where it's Japan, right? I need to go to Japan to make sure she doesn't make it back.
I think she's got to leave immediately, and she gets in maybe the night before. Like,
I'd go to the same airport. Security be like, nope, every flight's going to be canceled. Get him out of here. Like, stop.
She's not taking United Airlines. Like,
fair. Good point.
You don't understand the power of my curse. You don't understand. They'll be like, for whatever reason, I will be at the Japan airport, and like Godzilla will legit show up and destroy the airways. Like, just like the planes will go down, they can't even get off the tarmac, and like that's how bad. Like, meaning knows.
I'm terrified
to take this flight to Washington with my wife. I don't think we're coming. Like, even if my flight came back on Tuesday next week, I'd be like, we're not having a show next Wednesday. Why? Because I'm not going to be back in time. I can just promise you that. Like, it's just.
Not wrong.
Anyway, so the current lines on the Super Bowl. The 49ers, -2. It's been bouncing around. It was -1.5, -2.5. It's been bouncing around -2. Over under 47, even as of right now. So those two numbers, first out of the gate. I'm going to go first because I want to know if you guys think I'm crazy. I talked about this with Joe Holkle's show, which you can see when he breaks that down and that releases. But I'm Chiefs here. Like, this is something that we talked about on the Saturday Sirius XM show the past 2 weeks. I said, if the Chiefs are going to win, what do we say? Lauren was lockstep with me on this. It's going to be Travis Kelce. They need Travis Kelce at this time. I know it's been a down year. Huge disappointment, especially for fantasy purposes. But they need him. And what does it really come down to? Let's break this down. Both good defenses. both of them really good defenses. And actually, I think it was Kyle Soppy who tweeted it out. Something, it was about DVOA. I couldn't find the tweet. It was DVOA or EPA or both of them. But anyway, because both of them are inside the top 10 and both of them are inside top 5 on a lot of those numbers. And when both teams have been inside those numbers, the under is hit, I think, every single time but once. And so what do we know about that? Like, that's the under. So I'm hitting the under on the 47. But what it comes down to for the winning the Super Bowl is both defenses are good. They've both shown vulnerabilities. And I think more of late, the vulnerabilities have been with the 49ers, not with the Chiefs. But even so, let's say the defenses are equal. Let's just say they are. Let's say the defenses are equal. Let's talk about weapons. Weapons, better for the 49ers than there are for the Chiefs. Running backs, Christian McCaffrey over Pacheco. Tight end, Kelce over Kittle. Wide receivers, you can offset Deebo and Rice, but Ayuk better than definitively anything else that the Chiefs have at number two. But with the even defenses, and if you get pressure, which both these teams do, who do I trust under pressure? Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has been here. Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, one of the winningest player quarterbacks of all time already in the playoffs. And what it comes down to is Brock Purdy for the last two games is the same Brock Purdy we saw for the last two or three games in the season, meaning, I'm going to you first, is the first three quarters have been disgusting. Like, the inaccuracies that we talk about, if you want to have the metrics conversation that people were arguing about Dan Campbell for the past 3 days, about metrics say this, about going for it, blah, blah, blah. Because a lot of people, meanie, sit here and listen to me and other people who say this and say, like, Brock Purdy's inaccurate. And like, no, he's not. Actually, the metrics show you he is. He is top three in off-target percentage. Great offense, great weapons to make up for it. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's trash. I said he's great. I even said he's a great quarterback. Top 15, yeah. Maybe even top 10 real life, but at least top 15 and top 10 for fantasy purposes. But all that being said, the three quarters, 2 weeks in a row, can't be ignored for me against the Chiefs defense. And when it comes to the Super Bowl pressure, and that's why I'm taking the Chiefs outright. I actually even think they win by a field goal or more, and again to the under. So all that being said, very long-winded. Meanie, do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree, actually, with a lot of your points. And people just say to me on Mean Streets that I'm a Brock Purdy hater and whatever. All
even
I say
like the biggest
is
Brock Purdy fan on this show the entire year.
Especially from a fantasy standpoint, I just remember being in New York and just probably annoying you and saying, why hasn't Brock Purdy gone off the board here in the Superflex League? I don't understand it. In real life, yeah, he's making the case for a top 10 quarterback. I mean, he's proved everybody wrong as Mr. Irrelevant. He's in this situation. He was in the NFC Championship game last year, too. Call him assistant quarterback, manage games, all you want. Well, none of that matters. But the last 2 weeks, he has looked very mediocre. He's had good fourth quarters. I don't want to take that stuff away from him, but in back-to-back weeks, this is a team that had to play from behind. I don't think you want to be playing from behind against Spags and Patrick Mahomes. And it's just not going to be the recipe for success. I feel like, yes, they won their games, but I thought the Packers gave it away, and I thought the Lions gave it away last week as well. It should be a phenomenal game. When these two teams played each other 4 years ago, you know, KC played a lot of man. The Niners are great against man. You wonder what Spags is going to do against them. But I think that KC will have success slowing down CMC to a point. But I also think that they'll have success running the football with Isaiah Pacheco. Like, Aaron Jones had success running on them. Dave Montgomery had success last week running on them. I think that they can lean on Pacheco here in this spot. And what you said, I mean, at the end of the day, Mahomes versus Purdy and what could be a field goal game and whoever has the ball last. Like, come on. Like, just, it sounds boring analysis. Everyone seems to hate the Chiefs. Mahomes and Kelce are the most hated people in the world at the moment. You just have to respect what they're doing. And I also would add to that, that KC has an advantage at the head coach position as well in Andy Reid, because Shanahan has been in this spot a couple times. And he has yet to show us that he can win that big game. So I'm with you, man. I like KC. I lean with the under. And I don't think it'll get up to 3-point favorites for San Fran, but I see two and a half, and I would jump on that one right now. It's going to go back and forth, but I like the 2.5.
Lauren, where are you on all of this?
I agree. So you brought up a good point about Andy Reid being, you know, the better head coach. Kyle Shanahan is right there. So it's not like this is, you know, a young inexperienced head coach coming into this position who's never been there before. I think coaching is pretty even. I'm going to get a slight nod to Andy Reid. I just like that you brought that up because there is a lot of good coaching styles between the two of them. The biggest fear that I have, which Andy Reid has done a good job since he's been the head coach of the Chiefs. Back when we were talking about, I think the Eagles, I think is, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Meany, but he really struggled with halftime adjustments. I feel like he's done a much better job of that over the last several years. So I will give the nod to Andy Reid on this one. Christian McCaffrey cannot be ignored. I think that is going to be huge for the 49ers. So if there's going to be a wild card, you know what I mean by wild card, if there's going to be an explosive spark from the 49ers, it's going to come from Christian McCaffrey, which doesn't really have much to do with Brock Purdy. So whether or not Brock Purdy is going to be the wow it factor, he's not. It's just not how he quarterbacks this team. This is going to come from Christian McCaffrey. It's going to come from George Kittle, or it's going to come from Deebo Samuel, and it's going to come from Ayuk. So I like Christian McCaffrey. I like Deebo Samuel with what he's able to do on the ground. But the point that you nailed home, which we have seen time and time again, Patrick Mahomes gets the last play of the game. He only has X amount of seconds to get it done. Guess who gets it done? It's Patrick Mahomes. So I am going to go with the Chiefs on this. I think it's going to be a great game. As long as they get Christian McCaffrey involved, and Chiefs defense is very good, but I don't think they're good enough to really shut him down the entirety of the game.
Okay. So
we're all on KC. Wow.
Yeah. I like Kansas City. I like San Fran too. I like both of these teams.
I was legitimately surprised that the 49ers were favored after the run that the Chiefs. I thought they would lean to what like the public might think, and just I don't know. I actually expected the line to open up on the Chiefs side. I'm just because they
yeah I the Ravens. Yeah, I thought so too. I have a story for another day, but God, what a gut wrenching loss by the Lions. My goodness.
No, please don't. I was really in a good headspace. Okay, yeah, I don't.
We're done talking about last week.
I don't need to talk about the lines. Okay. Thank you. Let me go cry.
Anyway. So talking quarterbacks.
I love you, Meany.
No, I love you too.
Can't
I get
do it.
It.
At least they didn't get shellacked the entire game.
Can I move on to the Super Bowl, you two?
No.
Yes.
Can I stay with the Super Bowl?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the rushing then. I got to change that. I was originally going to talk about Purdy and Mahomes, but since we were on all that and talking about the rushing from both sides. So, Meany, Pacheco over under 70.5. I got to be honest with you. Pacheco's and Christian McCaffrey's rushing props. So this is something I talked about with Holka as a complete aside here, is that I feel like Super Bowl props, if you see all of them, we're going to talk about a few. Actually, all the big players. There's the one thing about the Super Bowl. So it's twofold. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me just stick with my main point first. It's that exciting. The Super Bowl is such an island. It's the island of island-to-island games of all time that the props are pretty aggressive because people want to bet overs. I feel like they bet – like they put the lines pretty aggressive for everybody, and I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for unders in this game when you also factor in the defenses as well. So that's first. The second part of it, which I was going to say, is that with this, you also have – look at the Chiefs. Mahomes – Pacheco, Kelce, Rice. The end. We're not screwing around with the rest. I mean, maybe you take a flyer on like, you know, oh, Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches one pass for 25 yards, so he hits the over. Like, those are fun bets, but I'm just talking about where everybody's going to gravitate as the public. On the 49ers side, it's Purdy, CMC, Kittle, Ayuk, Deebo. It's such a narrow focus for bet. Like, it's normally, like, even a couple past years, there's other people involved. There's other like mixed backfields and stuff like that. So even the Chiefs, McKinnon from a few years ago, like it's such a narrow focus. So anyway, to go to all that, Meany, I feel like Christian McCaffrey, 89.5 and Pacheco, 7.5 are both pretty hard lines. Like those are, I feel tough betting the over. Do you like the over on either one of them?
I do like the Pacheco one. I see a 67.5 over at Bet Rivers, which is really nice. But most books do have 70, and you're right. The numbers are really tight. They're high, because of everything that you just said. People like to bet overs. Nobody wants to bet unders. They want to have fun. They want to see players catch passes and get rushing yards. But, I did put Pacheco. I like the 67.5. There's a good track record here of Pacheco. 12 of his last 15 games had at least 15 rushing attempts. It's 16.5 this week. So again, just something that I've been betting personally is the 14.5 nonstop. Did it last week at plus money. So now it's up a couple. Does he get 17? I would say he does. And again, you can run. But I think my favorite Pacheco bet, maybe just combining the rushing and the receiving at 88.5, because he did have 4 catches last week. He didn't hit his 16.5 receiving yard prop. There was a catch at the end of the game where he lost, I think, 4 or 5 yards, which hurt him. But the Niners are among the leaders in receiving yards allowed and catches allowed to running backs. And I just think, you know, what you said is what I have noticed with Kansas City since this turnaround is they have just used 3 guys inside their offense. That's it. It's been Kelce, Rice, and Pacheco. You see CMC, yep. Or not CMC, CEH, my goodness, imagine comparing those two. You see Clyde Edwards-Helaire sometimes on the field here and there in some third down situations, but he's really not a factor. So I would say Pacheco is maybe a couple dump offs, maybe has success running. He gets to this number. But I think, you know, he could catch a couple passes out of the backfield too to get to the over 88. As for CMC, I mean, it's really high. He has top 90 in each of the last 2 games. It's just such a high number, like minus 500 for a touchdown too. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, it's going
to
happen.
Well, so I was pulling it up. I was trying to double check it. Like the rush doesn't feel as bad as the combined over under for Christian McCaffrey is 130.5. By the way, so 132 last week, 128 the week before. He's hovering right around that. 131 against Baltimore. The Washington game obviously got dinged up, so you can throw that one out there. But they're basically putting you at the line of where he's been hovering, which is just the combined. Like, I'm staying away from that one. Do you like, Lauren, do you like either like Meany? Are you on Pacheco, or are you staying away from both of them?
Oh, I'm staying away from this completely. I'm with you, Jake. I'm out. Yeah, that's not. That's not happening for me.
I think the CMC receiving yard prop is an interesting one because he could do that on like 1 or 2 catches.
Especially
like last week,
fall behind.
Yeah, I jumped on that one as opposed to the catches.
Real quick, do either of you like the Purdy over 243.5? Hasn't hit that in every single game as of late. Actually, almost close to 50-50. Patrick Mahomes, 258.5. Actually, same thing. Very close to hitting around those lines. I actually don't really – this is another one where I'm kind of staying away from because I feel like both quarterbacks are the types that could even get 3 passing touchdowns each and still do it on like 220 yards. So, Lauren, would you touch either one of these?
I will. I will go over on Patrick Mahomes, and I am staying away from Purdy.
Meany?
Yeah, I would agree. If I was to pick either one of them, I would go Mahomes, but I don't really like any of these ones. With Brock Purdy, I just don't trust the dude, man. I really just don't. He needs to have, like, a lot of his yards are from after the catch. Like, that's what it is. It's yak stuff.
Exactly. That's why I'm staying away from it too, because he could easily rack up a ton of passing yards on a dump off to Christian McCaffrey. So that's just no, thank you. I'm staying away from Purdy. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I did mean to, but it was unintentionally insulting.
You're good. No, listen, he struggled against 2 pretty mediocre pass defenses in Green Bay and Detroit. Like, let's be honest. Like, there were some quarterbacks that were throwing 300, 400 yards against that line secondary. And he couldn't figure it out until the fourth quarter. And this is a different beast, man. KC's defense has been – this is actually their strong point. We've seen them over the last few years in the Super Bowl. It's been the offense that has carried them. This year, it's been the defense.
So 2 more things before we get out of here. I actually think that's a fun one. Do you who has more rushing yards, Brock Purdy or Patrick Mahomes? That's from Mr. Nice Guy. Who would you take?
I would take Mahomes. I know Brock ran last week and surprised some people, and he just showed, hey, listen, if you're going to play man and forget about me, I could run for this first down. But I just see it all the time, Mahomes in the big situations. Remember in the Super Bowl last year on 1 ankle, this guy could hardly walk, and he ran all over the Eagles the end of the game when the game was on the line.
It was only 2nd game Purdy's even had over 20 rushing yards this year. So.
Yeah.
So the man is an interesting thing because, all right, here we go. These are the receiving lines as we get out of here. Kelce, 70.5. It might have sounded like I said 78. 70.5. Rasheed Rice, 67.5. Ayuk, 63.5. We know these are .5s. 63. Debo, 55. Kittle, 47. And then what you said about CMC, Meany, at 36.5. I'm going to jump in first. There's 2 I like. There's 2 I attack. There's 2 that have actually gone up. Only by 2 yards for one and then 1 by the other. But I already hit Kelce over, because if I think the Chiefs are winning, I think Travis Kelce is a big factor in that. He has to be. I'm all over Travis Kelce yet again. This actually will be the third week in a row I'm hitting the over on Travis Kelce. Let's go 3 for 3. Hopefully I didn't just jinx that. The other one is something we talked about for a while. I included in a lot of my columns over The Athletic through the weeks. This started about mid-season. But man versus zone coverage for the 49ers wide receivers. They both do terrific against zone. There's one that doubles up his yards per route run against man, and they both still do great against man. The Chiefs run the third highest man coverage in the league. Who destroys man? Brandon Ayuk. I am all over Brandon Ayuk for 63.5. Holka asked me, he's like, well, you brought up the conversation of Brock Purdy struggling with the pressure, but here's why. What did I tell also everybody about Nico Collins? Nico Collins and Brandon Ayuk are so similar.
Yes,
in
yes.
Not even just style, but like what they do for their teams. When we tried to figure out Nico Collins versus Tank Dell, which do we play? Who's going to have the bigger game? When CJ Stroud had time in the pocket, Tank Dell. When he had to get it out quick, Nico Collins, Nico Collins, Nico Collins, Nico Collins. Brock Purdy's going to have to get it out quick, and I know the Chiefs lost. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name, but they're leading sack artist out there. But if there is pressure on Purdy, he's going to Ayuk. He's going to get it out to Ayuk because that's who is actually the one that breaks man quicker. So I'm going Ayuk over, Kelce over, pretty much not touching the rest. I might go for CMC over, as that you said, Meany. That would be my third choice, but those are mine. Yeah, I know the name, Jiggles. I know, like, Charles, but I'm not going to say, is it Omenihu? Like Omenihu? Or like
Omenihu.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, Omenihu, yeah.
Thank you. There you go. See, there you go. You got your wish, Jiggles. They pronounced it for you. So, Meany, where are you going? Do you like any of the overs? Are you with me in these? Or you like something different? Do you think it actually maybe is Debo, whatever, as we get out of here?
I like the IU call. I do have a couple in the tracker already. I'm more intrigued with the catch props as opposed to the receiving yard stuff. I mean, we were kind of,
I don't know, Rashee Rice was at like what, 6.5 or something?
I actually don't mind it. I don't mind the 6.5 at the 6.5 on both guys. You saw Rice last week do it. You've seen Kelce do it consistently through the playoffs. As I said earlier, the offense is run through two guys. It's Kelce and it's Rashee Rice. And if Mahomes is going to throw the football 30 times, these guys are going to get double-digit targets. Like, who else is getting these targets? MVS has 100 receiving yards in the last 2 weeks, but it's basically just, you know, one catch here and there. And I actually have the over 18.5 on MVS. Maybe just all the drops in the regular season, he's getting some good luck.
He's hit it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he's hit it 2 weeks in a row pretty easily, where it just takes one catch. Maybe it's just, hey, all the focus is on Rice, and it should be on Rice and Kelce. Like, go ahead, Mahomes. If you want to beat us with MVS over the top here and there, you can take your shot if you want. You hope that MVS pulls one of those down. So I like the over 18.5. But, yeah, I am. I drank a little bit of the juice, the -140 on Kelce, 7 catches, and then Rice, 7 catches. And I do like Debo for 4.5. I love your Ayuk call. I would lean with Ayuk receiving yards, but I think Debo catches at over 4.5. I just feel if they're struggling, he's the safety valve for Brock Purdy. Like, everyone talks about how he can't win without Debo. This offense is out of sorts when Debo's not on the field, that there could be a couple bubble screens, like quick little slants, just to get the ball in his hand. So the 4.5 catches, and I'd lean with the Ayuk receiving.
So I'm looking right now, real quick, Lauren, as we turn to this. Anytime touchdown props. Kadarius Toney has the same anytime touchdown props as Elijah Mitchell. Man. Why do people want to bet this fool? And then watch, he's going to get that one touch that's designed specifically for
him. Well, did you see he took to IG?
Oh, yeah, the Instagram that he's not really hurt, and now he's practicing this week. I just want to throw it out.
Dude, they were doing you a favor by saying you were hurt and out for personal reasons instead of saying you are not good enough.
Jump in real quick. Quick sidebar. The Giants still won that trade, right? Because for everybody that's going to, they traded Toney for a third rounder, which the third rounder essentially turned into Darren Waller. Darren Waller missed half the season and banged up, but they still won the trade. Anyway, Lauren, any of the receiving props that you like, and did the Giants win the Darren Waller or Kadarius Toney trade?
The Giants won the trade for sure. That's not even a question. That's laughable. I'm going over on Kelce. I'm going over on Rashee Rice. I'm going to go, I'm going to go over on Brandon Ayuk, under on Debo at 55.5. I'm going under on George Kittle at 47.5.
Taking all of them.
And I'm going to go over on CMC at 36.5.
The Kittle thing is interesting.
This blocking it like that. On the parlay.
A parlay.
It almost sounds like Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was parlay! Just going to say. Yes. Parlay.
Parlay. We will not be here next week. I will be in Washington with the Wise family. That I can actually say that now. And hopefully the flight doesn't get canceled. Hopefully the snow doesn't come into play. We're flying through Dallas. Unfortunately, both. I don't have to worry about weather, but it's also Dallas. But anyway, at Chris Meany, at Stepmom Lauren. If you want to go check out hockey stuff over at FTN, please do. Meany's got a ton of coverage where you bet against Igor for the over every single time because he's trash. And code all in, get you 20% off. And we'll be on SiriusXM nominated show on Saturday. Lauren will be on vacation this week, but she'll be back after that week too. So a lot going on. And if you have any questions, we'll be on Twitter at next week. Fun, love, goodbye, whatever. I'll check. See you. Bye, Fox, at some point. See you.